I'm standing in a glorious spot on a glorious day. I'm standing in the region of Caesarea Philippi at the foot of Mount Hermon. This is where Peter made his famous confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is where Jesus went up on a mountain and he was transfigured before them, and they saw him in the glory of his coming kingdom. Come with me and study what Matthew has to say about that time. It is here in Caesarea Philippi, the city that lay at the foot of Mount Hermon, that Peter made his famous confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it was upon this confession, upon this truth, that Jesus said, "I will build my church." Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament, and now he's here, proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus turned to Peter after this confession, and he said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." He says in verse 19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." In other words, Peter, I am giving you keys of authority. Keys of authority. A key unlocks something. A key shows that you have ownership, that you have possession. And he's saying what you unlock, what you bind down here on earth, and what you loose down here on earth will be something that has already been bound, something that has already been loosed in heaven. And he says, "I will give you," and he's speaking specifically to Peter. Now, what does he mean? I want you to look up Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, where it talks about having the keys of David, where it talks about having keys and locking and unlocking, and you'll have a better understanding of what I'm saying. Just remember that keys are authority. Now, when he gives this to Peter, he's going to give it also to others. He's going to give it to the other disciples. He says, "But whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Already bound in heaven, as I said, and already loosed on earth, as I have said. Now, let's look at several passages that have to do with this. I want us to go to John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, in verse 23, we see an important text. And it's after Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And in John chapter 20, this is what he says in verse 23. He says, in verse 21, he appears to them. "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.'" In other words, what he was telling them is, now you have authority to tell others that their sins have been forgiven. In Acts chapter 10, and let's look at Acts chapter 10. In verse 43, it says this, "Of him," speaking of Jesus, "all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." So what he's saying to him is, "I am giving you the keys to the kingdom." What gets us into the kingdom? What is it that gets us into the kingdom? It is forgiveness of sins. And he says, "And I'm giving you the authority to tell people that their sins have been forgiven or their sins have not been forgiven." have not been forgiven. Why? Because they have not believed in Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to get into heaven. And Jesus said it in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one, no one comes to the Father but through me. So this is what he means when he tells him that he has given him the keys of the kingdom. Now he goes on to say this. Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. He wanted to make sure that they knew who he was, but he didn't want them to tell anyone else that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah. Why? Because it was not the right time. In verse 21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And you don't want to miss this, be raised up on the third day. Now, what I've done in Matthew next to this verse, I've taken a red cross and I put a red cross right next to this verse. And then I put a red arrow showing about his being raised from the dead, his dying and being raised from the dead. And you want to mark that because you're going to see it again in Matthew. You also want to mark the word suffer. The Son of Man is going to suffer many things. Now just stop and think the progress of what's happening. He's saying that he is the Christ, that he's the Son of God, and this is the foundation, this is the truth upon which he's going to build his church. He's going to suffer many things. He's going to die. He's going to be raised from the dead. And we know that he's going to return to the Father. So what he's doing is he's saying to Peter, and then he will say it in John chapter 20 after his resurrection to the others, that they have authority, that they have the keys of the kingdom, that what they bind on earth is already bound in heaven. What they loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. So he's going and is giving his authority to his apostles because they're going to carry on the ministry. They're going to go out and proclaim the kingdom of heaven and the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When he says this, and you want to mark from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples. He's taking them aside. He's telling them what is going to come to pass. He doesn't want them telling others that he is the Christ. Why? Because he knows that they're going to kill him. But they cannot kill him until it is God's time. But now he needs to do some very valuable things with his disciples. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now he says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom, and I don't know if Peter's feeling all this power, but he takes Jesus Christ aside. And when he takes Jesus aside, he begins to rebuke Jesus of all things. And it says, he said, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. This what? This suffering. So I mark it the same way. The Son of Man is going to suffer. No, God forbid it, Lord. This suffering shall never happen to you. Now listen to what Jesus says. It says, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. You're interested in keeping me here, and it is not God's interest. Why? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And he can't save that which is lost unless he sheds his blood. He's the Lamb of God who has to die for the sins of the world. Yes, he's going to come as the king in his kingdom. But first, it is the message of the suffering servant. And it's almost like Peter and others are blind to Isaiah chapter 53 and the end of Isaiah 52, where in Isaiah 52, it says, my servant is marred more than any man. It says that he is the one who was bruised for our iniquities, upon and our stripes have been put upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Healed of what? Well, Peter will tell us later. We're healed of sin. And so he's saying, look, you're not setting your thing, your mind on the things of God. You're thinking of the interests of man. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, look, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to death. And you've got to think not of your interests or man's interests, but you've got to think of God's interests. And I want you to know that if you're going to come after me, then you have to deny yourself. It's not man's interests, it's God's interests. You have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross. It's an instrument of death, and you are to follow me. Once again, he's telling him the cost of discipleship. He says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Peter's saying, Lord, Lord, you're not going to die. I'm rebuking you. You're not going to die. And he's saying, listen, if I want to save my life, I have to lose it. I've got to lose my life in order to gain my life. And I have to lose my life in order to gain life for you, is what he's saying. He says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And then he takes him from the immediate suffering to the glory that is to come. He says this, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. He's saying this, if you will lose your life for my sake, I promise you, you will find it. Because it's in death, it's in the cross that we find the crown. The crown comes after the cross. We'll talk about it more at the foot of Mount Hermon, the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Welcome back to the foot of Mount Hermon, to the region of Caesarea Philippi. Not only did Peter make his great confession here that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, but something else very significant happened in this region. We know from studying Matthew that Jesus remained in the area of Caesarea Philippi for a number of days. As he tells Peter and the others standing there with him, that those that are going to follow him must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. And then he tells them that there's a reward coming. He says, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and I will then repay every man according to his deeds. Beloved, God knows when you suffer. He knows when you pay the cost for following Jesus Christ, when you do not compromise. He knows the pain and the suffering that's connected with denying yourself and taking up your cross and following Him. And He says, I'm going to come. I'm going to come in all my glory, and then I will repay everyone according to their deeds. There is a day of reckoning coming. There is a day of justice. There is a day of judgment. But then He makes this statement. He says, truly, I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. It's an awesome, awesome statement. He says, I've told you that the Son of Man is going to come in His glory. But there are some standing here who are not going to see death until you see that happen. Now, it's unfortunate that they've made a chapter division here, because really, there's no chapter division. It says 6 days later. Mark says 6 days later. Luke says 8 days later. Now, the 8 days with Luke is he's including the day preceding, and he's including the portion of the day that follows. But it says 6 days later, Jesus took with Him, and this is the sum of those of you who are standing here. Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John, His brother. That's John that writes the Gospel of John. And led them up on a high mountain by themselves. I'm almost overwhelmed as I stand here at the foot of Mount Hermon, because everyone believes that it was Mount Hermon where He went up and where this happened. He chose these three men to go up with Him on top of this high mountain. And it says, and He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Him. They were standing there, Peter and James and John, and all of a sudden Jesus is transfigured, and they see the Son of Man in His glory. And not only that, but they see Moses and they see Elijah. Moses, who represents the law. Elijah, who represents the prophets, standing there talking with Jesus Christ. Is there life after death? Of course. Is Moses dead and in a tomb? No, he lives. And Elijah, who was transported, who was caught up into heaven, is there with Him. And Peter and James and John are seeing all this. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. It's good that you have me as an eyewitness. It's good that I've seen this. I can erect three tabernacles for you. And it says, and while He was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, listen carefully, this is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 1, when it says, God in times past spoke in diverse ways through the prophets, but now He has spoken to us in these last days through His Son. We don't need tabernacles. We don't need one for Moses. We don't need one for Elijah. We don't need one for Jesus. This is My beloved Son. You've said earlier that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is My beloved Son. You were right, and You are hearing it from the very mouth of Almighty God. And I want you to listen to Him. And it says, and when the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground. I mean, they were flat out prostrate before this voice that was coming from heaven. And they were terrified. And Jesus came up to them and He touched them. And this is what He said. He said, get up and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Moses was gone, Elijah was gone, and who was standing before him? The one that was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He alone remained. Now they were to listen to him. Here he was, the mediator of the new covenant. Here he is, the son of David. Here he is, the son of Abraham. Here he is, the son of God. Here he is, God incarnate. Here he is, the Christ, the Messiah, the son of the living God. And they were to listen to him. They saw him in his glory. God allowed him this awesome, awesome experience. And yet, what would Peter write later in his final epistle when God showed him that the time of his departure had come? This is what he says in verse 16 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Behind me is that holy mountain. What makes it holy? It's simply the fact that it was set apart by God, where his son, in the presence of James and Peter and John, would be revealed in all of his glory, transfigured, so that they could see him as the coming one who would rule and reign over the face of the earth. So it was set apart. It was consecrated for this purpose. And you and I, beloved, have the privilege of reading the Word of God with that holy mountain in the background and remembering this, that we are to listen to Jesus. Peter goes on to say, but we have the prophetic word made more sure. He says, it's a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. He says, know this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. We have the mountain behind us. We have the record of what happened, but we also have the whole book. And Jesus is the one that you and I are to listen to. God has spoken through his Son. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic. But you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs. But the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference?
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit PreceptsForLife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Amos the prophet wrote that God does nothing in secret but what he tells his prophets beforehand. And as you and I study the prophets, as you and I listen to the prophets, we can know what's going to come to pass. We can know from Isaiah chapter 53 that our Savior, our Messiah, the Christ, is going to suffer. We can know from the end of Isaiah and the end of many prophets that our Savior, our Messiah, the Messiah of the Jews, is going to rule and reign on the face of this earth. And what you have in the passage that we studied today is the death of Jesus Christ, the fact that Jesus Christ is going to suffer. And the prophet of prophets tells them this. He prepares his disciples. He tells them, from that time on, he began to prepare them that he was going to suffer many things at the hands of the chief priests, at the hands of the elders, and at the hands of the scribes, that he was going to die, but that he was going to be raised again. And yet, almost in that same breath, when he challenges them and tells them, now take up your cross and follow me. Lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, and you'll find it. Then he tells them that the Son of Man is going to come in all of his glory. And he gives them a glimpse of that glory, so that they can know that when he comes, he's going to repay them according to their deeds. What is God's word to you and to me today? As we stand at the foot of this holy mountain range where Jesus was transfigured, before the eyes of James and Peter and John, his word to you and to me is this, beloved, that we may suffer now, but glory is going to follow. The Son of Man is coming from heaven with all of his holy angels, and you and I are going to stand before him face to face. I'm sure we'll be like Peter, James, and John. Our faces will be to the ground, but he will touch us and say, stand up. Do not be afraid. Why? Because we belong to the kingdom. Because we belong to the King. Because we believe that the King is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we will rise and we will receive our reward. And you and I will rule and reign with him. So remember that, beloved, and live accordingly. Live according to these precepts for life.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.